In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The words that we've heard from St. Paul this morning in his letter to the Ephesians have a strong and very important message to us here as the members of St. Timothy Orthodox Church in Tekoa. It has to do with evangelization. Evangelization in an environment that is different from the life that we understand ourselves as sharing with one another and with God through Christ. St. Paul is, as we know, the apostle to the Gentiles. And in the words that we've heard from his letter to the Ephesians this morning, he is addressing the Gentiles. And he is telling them that this new covenant between God and human beings is unlike the old covenant in one very important way. In the old covenant that God made with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the sons of the house of Israel, those who were not of the Jews were outside of the covenant. And we know that one of the consequences of the world that God created is that it was broken into many peoples, different languages, different customs, different traditions. And God chose one of them, the Jews, to make a covenant with and to reveal himself to in a way that he had not revealed himself to anyone else. But he did so not to make that group exclusive, but to make it the kernel, the seed of a new way of life. And he prepared them down through the course of the scriptures until the time of the incarnation and coming into the world of God's own Son, born of a woman, Jesus the Christ. And St. Paul is explaining to the Gentiles that the wall that had always been there, and when you think of the temple that Paul had in mind, you find that there actually is a physical separation with the Gentiles in the court of the Gentiles on one side. They could come there and no further. And the Jews who were able to worship as members of that covenant with God. St. Paul is telling the Gentiles that wall of separation is broken down. The wall of separation between all human peoples that has always been there, where we are broken up into people of different races and different communities, different ethnic traditions, is broken down. And he says it is broken down by the very incarnation of the Son of God itself. He makes this point clearly. Jesus, the Christ, who is fully God and also has our full and perfect humanity, our humanity as it is meant to be, as it was created to be, now fulfilled in him by the very fact of his incarnation and the fact that all of us as human beings were created to be human in the way that Christ's humanity is fully human. It unites us in Christ in that particular way. Now, there is another part of that. It's not so that the incarnation of the Son of God and God's accomplishment of the oneness and restoration of our humanity in Jesus Christ himself saves anyone. It doesn't. The other part of that is that we must be incorporated into the body of Christ, that body of our perfect humanity at one with God. That has yet to be accomplished. And so the oneness of all of us as human beings is accomplished in Jesus the Christ. But our salvation remains to be accomplished. You know, as an Orthodox person, I used to see those signs along the road, "What would Jesus do?" And I've often commented, you know, as an Orthodox priest, on the difference between that sentiment, which basically takes Jesus as a moral model, which he certainly is, but that's not his primary significance. Jesus' morality and decency is the same as the morality and decency of the Old Testament or of any good human being. That is something that we share in common as human beings. We don't have to look to Christ to find that uniquely, although there certainly it is fully. And so my response has always been, what would Jesus do? He would be the incarnate Son of God. He would ascend to the cross, be crucified, die, descend into hell, arise on the third day, reveal himself to the apostles, and ascend in the body to sit on the right hand of God the Father. That's what Jesus would do. Can we do that? Well, the fact of the matter is that we can, and we need to. Now, of course, we're not talking just about emulating him, copying him as a moral example. We're talking about becoming part of the body of Christ that he has made available to us as a passageway into oneness and communion with God. And so we do have to undergo a death like his if we are going to arise and live at one with him as members of the body of Christ. But we can get confused here easily. We can think that, oh, we're talking now about the sacraments. And we are. We have to be baptized into his death, share his death. By way of the sacrament, yes. And part of the sacrament of baptism is that we do not just descend into the waters, but we also rise out of the waters to live our life at one with Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit, which we're given through the chrismation, the giving of the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that is the sacrament. Okay, accomplished, right? Our salvation is secure. No, that's the initiation of our lives as members of the body of Christ. St. Paul, in these same passages, after he talks about how the wall of enmity between the Gentiles and the Jews that had been called by God is broken down, he goes on to say that now the call goes out to all of the Gentiles to fulfill what has been fulfilled in Christ himself by becoming members of the body of Christ and to have our perfect humanity, which is there in Christ, be our way of life. We can be perfect with God's own perfection. We cannot perfect or much improve ourselves outside in any other way. We can be good, decent people. We didn't fall so far that we can't accomplish that. But our calling is to live from God's life, goodness, wisdom, and not to be people who bring new evil into the world. St. Paul says that the foundation of this building of a new life in the world. So it's building. There's something left that needs to be done. Even after the accomplishment of the crucifixion and resurrection, there is still something that we need to do, and the Holy Spirit is sent so that we can do it. Like that chrismation, you see, but here it is the chrismation, the gift of the Holy Spirit to the whole of this new community of those who are going to live as members of the body of Christ. St. Paul says that the foundation of this new life is the apostles, the prophets, and Jesus Christ, who is the head of the corner. The foundation is not just Jesus Christ, because the work still needs to be done for all of us, called by God, to build ourselves into the body of Christ. And so when St. Paul talks about the foundation, he doesn't say just Christ alone separately. He begins by mentioning the apostles and the prophets, because this body of Christ is not a matter of somehow simply as isolated individuals on our own mystically identifying ourselves with Christ in some spiritual way that has nothing to do with the rest of the Christians. No, it includes from the beginning the apostles and the prophets and Jesus the Christ, who is one stone, the head of the corner, the living cornerstone. And when anyone is built into this body of Christ, they become alive with Christ's life. They begin to fulfill their humanity as it is in Christ. Because we are not separate from God and separate from Christ as God created us to be. We can't start with our own individual personal condition. We are created by God as human beings, created in the image and likeness. We've lost the likeness, and we're going to somehow, what, build up from there? Try to follow the commandments. Come to confession. Say, well, this week I didn't do so good. If that's the way we are trying to move toward the fulfillment of the fullness of the stature of Christ, then we're deluding ourselves. We can't do it as individuals, trying to copy Christ, watching our actions and criticizing them and comparing them to Christ. We have to actually build ourselves into the body of Christ. God saves us not in isolation, but in this new community, this new communion of those who are building themselves into the body of Christ, that building of which Christ is the chief cornerstone, the head of the corner. And this is a point that we constantly have to remind ourselves of in our very independent and individualistically minded country of the United States of America. Christianity has been changed for the West in order to accommodate the idea that the fundamental thing of importance is each one of us as isolated, independent, perhaps God-created individuals. And when it comes to Christian faith, it's a matter of whether I accept it personally and begin to try to live by way of my own abilities in that kind of way, because it is my faith and my religion. We are free and independent peoples. That is an adulterated and changed and adjusted Christianity. It is not what St. Paul is talking about in these passages. In these passages, he says, first of all, our humanity has been fulfilled in Christ so that the humanity of all human beings is brought together, is no longer broken into 1,000 pieces. The humanity of Christ is the humanity that we are meant to live. We don't already have it as individuals. We are separated from God unless we unite ourselves to God through Christ. And we can only do that by building ourselves into the body of Christ. There is work yet to be done. And this is a message that has not yet been heard. Sometimes it hasn't even been heard fully by ourselves. The most isolated monk in the desert is building himself into the body of Christ. It's true, he may or may not be living as a member of a community of human beings, but we have to remember that this community is a community that began on the day of Pentecost and includes all of those who have come before us, those we call the saints. St. Paul calls out to the Gentiles in the words we've heard this morning, and he says, you are called to be citizens of the house of God. You are called to be at one with and in communion with the saints. And the monk in the desert is building himself or herself into that body of Christ, at one with the saints who are alive in Christ, more living than we are in our individualistic isolation, walking through life, trying to improve ourselves on the basis of our own abilities. They are much more united to the body of Christ than we are if that's how we're living. It takes effort to do that. And St. Paul is calling out to the Gentiles to come and to enter this new covenant, which isn't closed but is open to fulfill the humanity of all human beings everywhere, if they will enter into the body of Christ. Yes, by baptism, yes, by chrismation, but also by the effort to fulfill in our own lives the living out of the humanity that God created us to have. And we can do that by our oneness with God through Christ and in the Holy Spirit. That message has not been preached fully. The individualistic style of Christianity has flooded everywhere and appeals to our desire to be separate, important without God, as though there could be some kind of special path that we could follow without dying a death like Christ's on the cross, a death to ourselves, an abandonment of the project to build ourselves up without God and ask Him to help. That project must be abandoned. It must die. It must be ended. That's what we are doing sacramentally in baptism, and it has to become the reality of our lives. The actual living out of the Christian life is not something that we ever do as isolated individuals. It is always something that we do as members of the body of Christ, members of that community and communion of all of those who have gone before us, the communion of saints. We do it as members of the communion of saints. That's what the body of Christ is. The communion of saints. It's not something that is just out distant in some immaterial place in heaven, a heaven of our imagination. The communion of saints is the communion of all of those who lived lives as physical and as particular and as individual as the lives that we lived in earlier ages, who are not dead, because death cannot overcome this communion, but remain alive in Christ. We remain in communion with them. And our spiritual task is to build ourselves into that body of Christ. We say that when we sin, we hurt the community. And you know, we think about the community that we are particular members of, in our case, in Toccoa at St. Timothy's. And there's truth in that. But there is more than that involved. When we sin, when we miss the mark, there is a tremor that goes throughout the communion of saints, because that is the body that we are members of. Not just our local community in human terms. When we miss the mark and betray Christ and live in a way that is less than the fullness of our humanity, fulfilled at one with His divinity in Christ, when we live in a way less than that, it damages just a little bit, just a pinprick perhaps for the whole, but not unnoticed. It's not something that happens to us in isolation. The irony is that when we sin, we feel isolated. When we miss the mark, we feel as though it's just me, all alone. I'm not like anyone else. That itself is hurting the communion of Christ's body. We are confessing it, and our confession is meant to heal ourselves and bring ourselves back into the body of Christ so that we can be healed by Christ, who is the living head of the corner of the body of Christ. Reuniting ourselves to that body, the community, Christ as the head of the corner, heals us, and our isolation is gone. We may sin in isolation, but when we repent, we return to the body of Christ. This orthodox understanding of St. Paul has disappeared in Western Christianity. And it will continue to be absent unless we ourselves live our lives as he recommends to us, making our spiritual effort the spiritual effort to build ourselves into the body of Christ. There is nothing that can overcome that body. That body has already overcome the power of death. And when we unite ourselves to the body of Christ, and we do so again and again by confession, we are returning to a triumph of life over every influence of death in this world. That is the body that the gates of hell can't prevail against. That is where our salvation lies, along with all of the other members of the body of Christ. And if that is our spiritual effort on the part of every one of us as members of St. Timothy's, if every one of us is in our spiritual lives endeavoring to build ourselves more and more into that body of Christ, then we will be able to call out, as St. Paul calls out to others, and say, come and be members of the body of Christ. Come and be members in the house of God through Christ in the Holy Spirit, and live your lives from God. Fulfill your lives by living this life that we have been given to live. It is a message that goes so far beyond just the assurance of not going to hell after you die. We don't, because having joined ourselves to the body of Christ, we are members of a body that death cannot prevail against. Our lives go on because our life is from God, and God's life has already destroyed the threat and influence of death on our lives as human beings in the world. And so, of course, in the end, death will be overcome. This is the faith of the martyrs. How could they go to their deaths so certain? Because their lives were lives that were being lived as members of the body of Christ. And that is our message. That is our call. The same call that St. Paul makes to the Gentiles, we need to be able to make in good conscience, because we are members of the body of Christ, to all of those around us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.